I sound now? I sound okay?
Would you ask Pop that question?
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Okay, here we go.
I'm ready whenever you are, Mike. Okay, here we go. And it's another hoops-adjacent edition of the Athletic NBA Show at the Athletic. David Aldrich here. It's windy as hell here in D.C. Gusting 50 miles per hour, all cold and whatnot. It's raining in the Bay with Marcus Thompson. They don't know how to handle it. About to shut the schools down, about to shut the state down. Y'all ain't got umbrellas in the Bay? What are you doing? Like, it's rain.
We have no idea what to do with any weather.
Just raining.
The crazy part is it's been raining relentlessly.
Right.
Right. And we still have no idea what to do. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, we're not used to this, man. We're supposed to be at a beach right now.
You know, just it's slow March. Down and put your wipers on. I don't know what to
tell you. Nah, man. That's not how we roll.
Man, so our guy DeMichael Cole from the Memphis Commercial Appeal joining us, man. What's the weather like down there, Brohim?
Weather's great in Memphis. Yeah, we don't have too much to complain about. We get that cool 60s, and every now and then it'll flip. It'll go in the 40s, but it's smooth over here right now. You know, I wore a light jacket to the game yesterday. Like, it's smooth over here.
Damn, you don't got no problems. Damn.
Man, you don't look smooth. You look like you're out here with me. You got a hoodie on with a beanie. Must be cold in your spot. Yeah, you turning the heat on, to save some money.
I keep my spot a little cool, so you know when I go outside, that sun hit. You know,
he keep it like David Letterman, like 55 degrees in the studio.
I keep my spot cool because I'm protesting the PG&E. I'm like, y'all not taking all my money. I'll freeze before I pay you too much.
Every time I hear PG&E, I think of Aaron Brockovich.
Right, yeah, exactly.
What they doing now to the poor people in California? What they doing?
Facts. I know, right?
Man, so DeMichael, of course, we got to ask you about Ja, man. We'll talk about that. But Michael, our producer, said we got to talk about what we were talking about before, which is I didn't realize this. Like, Golden State's tied with the Clippers in the West. And that first round joint, could be with against KD and Phoenix.
Yes,
man, it looks so likely. Like I feel like that's exactly what's probably going to happen, because if you look at the 3 seed and the 2 seed, the Grizzlies
it's out of reach.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for them to catch up. The Suns to catch up.
So you say you saying my old ass got to get on a plane and get out there. That first round joint.
you might have to come west, baby.
You know what I'm saying?
You might
that would
have to
be
come
some west. Good drama, though. That,
oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh man, what?
Oh my god,
what? Oh
my god. KD finally coming to you know to Chase Center too.
You know he's not played at Chase Center yet, right? You know he's not.
Has he not played?
No,
is that right?
I think he played the first year with fans.
Oh yeah,
no
without
fans.
Fans.
No
without
fans.
Fans. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, okay.
But since
okay.
then, he hasn't played.
So Marcus, would they have to give him the whole little ovation thing during the playoffs? Is that how they would do it?
Right. Nah, thank you, KD.
I think that celebrity, you know, that video, that welcome back video, that thing is old now. It's got old music on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's got Kanye on it. We can't even play that no more. So, you know, we got R. Kelly on the soundtrack. Like, They gotta tuck that one. That one ain't gonna never see.
Band artists.
They're like, man, what y'all do with that video? That's gonna be a 30 for 30 in 20 years, right? The video that never surfaced. You can't pull that out in the playoffs. There are two people I would think, if I was ranking the people the Warriors would not want to lose to, I'm torn between KD and Dylan Brooks. Damn. Like I don't know. Dylan Brooks, they just don't like him. But KD is like, we can't lose to our guy. Nah,
right.
We'll never hear the end of that.
Right,
that
might be like the series. Like I said before, who's guarding him?
Well, are the Warriors healthy?
Yes.
If they're healthy, Wiggins is pretty good.
All right.
I don't think you're stopping them.
We ain't know what Wiggs' status is right now.
Exactly. We don't. Here's the real key. You know who I throw on him? GP2. You Ooh. Cannot dribble the ball on GP2. Ooh. So you better get to your spot and turn around and shoot. Because if you're dribbling the ball around GP2, like, yeah, he might take.
But KD, but also, KD another KD question don't mark. Pound it, though. KD doesn't pound it like that.
I don't think you're stopping KD anyway. I don't think that's the
that's
problem.
That's right.
Stopping him anyway. Right. My concern, if I'm Phoenix, like, KD didn't play and they got routed. But my concern with Phoenix is what happens when them dudes sit down?
Yeah, they don't have a bench right now.
Right. No, you that's know, facts. Like, that's facts.
It's a different animal. Unlike where like Memphis seems to be like better weirdly without Ja. Like they have places to go. They got, you know, options. Yeah. But Phoenix, man, like it's like, all right, Torrey Craig is good. But you know, I like Josh Okogie. I don't like him carrying the offense.
That's fair. Well, they were throwing into DeAndre a lot. I think that's the move.
They don't have a choice. Yeah, like when they get to the playoffs, I feel like they'll stagger. They're gonna have to stagger. They're gonna have to keep. Yeah, KD or D Book is gonna be on the floor probably all the time.
You're gonna stagger their minutes.
Golden State used to do that, right? When they had Curry, KD. And yeah, something like that.
So here's my question to you: who guards Steph? They gave up their two best perimeter defenders in the deal.
I guess 49-year-old Chris Paul's going to guard Steph.
And as Steph said last night, it ain't 2014 no more. Right? 2014. That would be a crazy. But here's the thing that I mean, you're right, DMC. I don't know. Like, it looks like it's that way. My only issue is the Warriors still got to play on the road.
Yep.
So they'll end up 6 or 7 just because
it's so bad.
They got to play on the road. And
it's so bad.
It looks sweet now at 5 while they're at home, but the road is coming.
Is that Clippers? That Clippers game is a road game?
Yep, at Clippers.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Right? Then they got a 5-game road trip. So it might look a lot different next week.
Is it East trip or is it
mostly East. They got the Clippers and it's like Atlanta. They go back to Memphis again, which the last two times they've played in Memphis, they lost. They were down by like 50.
Yeah.
And then what was the last time? How far? It got, it's at least 20-something,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah, it got deep. Both of those have been bad.
Yeah, the last two times in Memphis have been like that 50-point game.
Atlanta would be like a home game for them. So that doesn't count.
Know. That's the thing, man. When they go on the road, teams are like, whew, this is the break we needed. Let's go. Let's make every single shot.
Right.
So the way it sounded is if the Grizzlies probably fall to 3 with everything going on around that team, the Kings are rolling. If the Grizzlies fall to 3, Golden State.
And the Warriors fall to 6. Yeah.
It's going to happen again.
I'm still
again.
Getting on a plane to do that one.
Still getting on a plane. Yep. Still. That's so if say that happens to Michael, do you see Ja playing in the postseason?
Now, I think so at this point. You know, I feel like everything's very realistic, you know, when it comes to, you know, him possibly missing the rest of the season and all those things. But the way the chips are aligned right now, just from the Grizzlies standpoint, things feels like they're more so on the side of Ja getting his help is part of it. But it's also, you know, the league's investigation. I feel like once the league's investigation, you know, is done, that's when the pieces will really start moving. So I think the league's investigation is kind of like the big holdup. So once that's done, I think, you know, Ja, you know, I think he wants to definitely be a part of the team, you know, in the postseason.
Right. You know, I wanted to holler at you about, like, not so much the team, because obviously the team feels how they feel about Ja. I know they got his back. What's the city been like? What is the city? How's the city dealing with this right now?
Yeah, so you know the culture here. Like it's that gritty grind, you know, mentality. But even so, more than that, think of it from the basketball cultural standpoint. You know, Memphis isn't like LA or New York City or, you know, all these cities, Boston, where they have all these historical greats. Where, you know, when a Dwight Howard goes to the Lakers, they can just ship him out and say, oh, he's not worthy. You know, being in LA and things like that. That's not Memphis. Ja is the best thing that's ever happened to the Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. So Memphis isn't going to turn its back on him because, you know, the city hasn't had a player to kind of love him like this before. They kind of watched Ja grow up. So they're not going to just ship him out And the best way I'd explain it is, you know, there have been multiple incidents in the past leading up, you know, to this latest one on you with the Instagram live video. And after all of those little small instances, Memphis was always like, all right, it's all good. You know, we got your back, Ja. We got your back, Ja. We got your back, Ja. Then when the last one happened, it kind of was like a letdown. It was like, man, Ja, we've been going to bat for you and you're making us look kind of bad now. So, but at the end of the day, when he comes back, if he comes back, that first game, I guarantee you at home, he's going to get a loud ovation and they're going to show him a lot of love because that's how the city will embrace him.
That's to me the wildest part about all this is like, I bet Memphis could see it coming. Like, how many times have, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, if anybody knows what it's like for a dude to have talent, but like, you know, his ankle is caught in, you know, in the hood a little bit, like, you know, man, get out of here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It felt like everybody was like, dang it, we was hoping we didn't get here. Right. Yep. We could see it coming. And now, you know, we got to get him up out of this, right? Like,
yeah,
is that a correct sense, you think?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, because like I said, they've had his back and almost to a point where, like you said, we got to get him out of this. That goes all the way back to like the accountability part. Like, it feels like, you know, it hasn't been that much accountability in Ja's direction because it's always been, we got you, Ja, we got you, Ja, we got you, Ja, which is great. But it's never been like, it's never felt like it's Ja. Get it together before it gets, you know, to this level or that level. It's always been, we got you. We're going to pull you through this. So because of that, you know, I feel like that's probably a big reason why we got here. But he's going to get plenty of love. Like, this, the city has not turned its back on Ja in any type of way.
I wonder about, to Marcus's point, though, because I have very vivid memories, and I'm not going to name the player, but...
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
there was a time back in the late 80s where a dude was in a city and they had to get him out of there.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Memphis.
Oh, no. It wasn't Memphis. It's not Memphis. But there was a very, very well-known player that had to get traded for his safety. He had to get traded, you know. And I don't think a lot of people maybe knew that at the time or maybe even know it now. But I just, that worries me about Ja, you know, I'm not even saying he's seeking it. I'm just saying you hit the wrong guy. You hit the wrong guy at a club or wherever. There's beef. And then it gets out of, you know how fast these things escalate these days, especially. And I'm worried about that with Ja. Like, is this a place where he can be himself, but also take care of himself in Memphis? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and I just worry about that with him.
He can be himself here. It's just he can't. I think the things that he can't do are just things you shouldn't do as the 23-year-old franchise player. Right.
You're like, yeah, just don't do this stuff. Right. Like,
exactly. You know, you can like you want to party. Everybody parties. Get you a private event at an undisclosed invite only location. Exactly. Don't go out to one of the biggest clubs.
For the love of God, when you do get this private party, don't put it on social media. How about that?
How about everybody private. Put the cameras away for 5 minutes?
Keep it private. We're going to get velvet ropes and backroom access to go ahead and let the world in anyway.
Right.
You might as well remove the rope.
Exactly, man. It's that simple. That's all it is. I think Memphis loves him. You know, Memphis is like any other, you know, big city that got it, that has its spots. You know, there are some people who, you know, when they see you moving the way that Ja is, you know, there's some temptation and things like that from a negative perspective. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you know, Ja, he is cautious of those things, you know, just from conversations I've had with him, just talking, he is cautious of that stuff. So he's not just moving around, you know, like in a dumb way, you know, in terms of that type of stuff. But the other side of it is in a way, I've always felt like Ja wants to be a normal 23-year-old, and, you know, he can't.
And he can't be. That's what I hope he understands. Like, he's got to learn that.
Look, like, these communities, This is the part that's a little frustrating for me because, man, like, I feel like Ja is it, man. Like, he is it. The frustrating part is there is communities like this have a long line of people who work specifically with people like Ja, right? Yeah. Like, incredibly talented, good young men. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
But just got these little edges you got to work out, right? So, my question is, I wonder, is he going to be open to a city with expertise in this? Because now it's going to be like, all right, we know who you are. Everybody's come clean. We understand what the situation is. Now it's time to put our arms around some people. It's time to, like, be wiser. And the squad doesn't have these veteran presences, right? Like, you got Steven Adams, but it's not a lot. Ain't no Tony Allens around, right? Yeah, ain't no OGs around. Like, moving forward, whenever he comes back from wherever he is, like, does he respond to that? Does he kind of open up to whoever it is at Memphis that, like, yo, man, you good? Because this, as big as it is, like, nationally, this is a very common thing in our community, right? This is not abnormal.
Not nothing new.
Yeah,
not
this
nothing
is like, new. Yeah. This is very common. That's why we can all see it coming, right? But after that, now it's like, okay, there are some steps that need to happen. And I know personally people in Memphis who are good at this stuff, like making sure people stay on the right track. Do you think he'll be receptive? Do the Grizzlies get a couple veterans in here? The last one they had was Andre Iguodala. They didn't really,
it didn't really work out too well.
Man, he has to. He has to be, you know, receptive of you talk about the history. Like, the little things that I do know when it comes to that is, you know, Memphis has Penny Hardaway. Like, and Penny
facts,
Penny isn't like a ghost around here. Penny, I remember all the way back when I was in high school, Penny shows up at all the big high school games. He's a big face in Memphis. We see him. So Penny, for example, he has a pretty good relationship with Ja's family. He and Ja, they haven't talked that much. Hmm. You got Penny Hardaway in the city. I'd be reaching out to him, you know, getting some knowledge from him. I think that's, you know, one person that comes out. Zach Randolph, he's still around. He's still employed by the Grizzlies.
Yeah, that's right.
And Ja has a great...
Z-Bo could give him the good and the bad, right? And
both ways.
Yeah,
both
ways. Z-Bo, you know, messed up some too, you know?
Exactly.
So. Yeah.
So you got
be like,
people.
Let me introduce you to my friend Bonzi. Y'all can talk.
Right?
And he's here. Bonzi's here too. Bonzi is the D2 coach at HBCU here in Memphis. So you got vets, you know, implanted in the city who are around. You know, Z-Bo's employed, you know, by the Grizzlies, and he has his own record label, Endless Record Label, with Ja Morant, you know, Moneybagg Yo, Big 30, those guys. Ja is associated with them. You know, they come to the Grizzlies game, sit courtside, he daps them up, they gave him a chain, all that good stuff. Like, he has a great relationship with those guys. So it's easy for him to, you know, you got Z-Bo, you got Penny Hardaway and all these guys, but from my understanding, he's never had, you know, a great relationship. Not saying he has a bad relationship with Penny, but it's never been, you know, like, Penny knows the family really well, but he doesn't know Ja as well. So with that being said, I think now, like, going back to your question mark, it's like he has to. This has to be the time for him to make those changes. You put out the statement. He took the time away. He's in the counseling program. After you do all that, now people are going to be looking at your actions. So now he has to show it to the people.
Plus, I thought Derrick Rose would be a good resource for him.
Great one. Yeah,
another one. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Great like, one. And so, you know, he's old head now, you know, so. Yeah, I just, you know, to Marcus's point, you know there's people that want to help him. They want a good outcome for Ja. And will he accept that and just go, I think about after Paul Pierce got stabbed in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
This shit you can't do no more, Paul. You can't do it anymore. Like, it's dangerous for you to do it. Like, you just have, and it doesn't require, you don't have to change who you are. You just have to pull back a little bit. That's all. Just pull back a little bit. You'll be fine.
You know, like, it sounds so simple, man. It sounds so simple. But it's a lifestyle to these guys. You know, I mean, I can't tell you, you know, how many times, you know, I know, you know, like bottle girls and things like that, and like, you know, the places around Memphis, and they'll say, oh, we saw Ja today. And
hey, yeah, he tapped in, boy. He got
Memphis wired, doesn't he?
I'm only 26, man, so you know.
Yeah, hey, man, I'm at home, bro. Come on.
that's where those connections come in. But yeah, you know, it's a lifestyle for him, man. He has to make that wholesale change after this, and you know, become, you know, that role model, I guess, you know, whether he wants to be or not. When you're the face of Nike and Powerade and, you know, Hulu Live and all these different things,
it's not just the Grizzlies. I know he knows this. Ja, they're setting you up for everything. They're setting you up for everything.
He is it. Right. There's no question.
Come on, man. You got to know that. Yeah. You're the guy.
You got a shoe coming out in 2 weeks for the public. Right? Everywhere. Right?
Yeah.
Everywhere.
That's the thing, you know, and obviously you got the rivalry, right, which I think is a little bit more laced with respect than is perceived, and a little bit is because, like, you know, Dylan Brooks is like the one outlier. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To me, and this is always like, to me, like the good ones, like Ja should be the next Steph.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like that.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, appeal. Marcus.
Yeah.
He's the guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so it's like, all right, it's cool, go at each other, but hey, man, Steph about to be 35. That's like 78 in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, tap in LeBron. Like, these dudes existed in the space that Ja needs to inhabit. So it's all good, smoke and chimneys and all that. That's all good.
Yeah.
But in the end, they're part of the 450. You know what I'm saying? And somebody's got to carry the torch. It should be him. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's where he's like, all right, it's cool and all, it's all fun and social media, blah, blah, blah. But hey, let me holler at you 30. Like,
Steph and Bron did that, right?
Yeah,
Steph and Bron did that.
No question.
Hella competitors, but they understood.
Yeah.
They got
Steph,
it.
Steph, like, Bron, holler at me. Let's talk business. How we setting up movie companies. We setting up, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. So he needs to get in that ilk of upper echelon superstar. But all right, I gotta ask you about Dylan Brooks. I gotta get here. Because the accusation was levied, and I hadn't heard this before, where Draymond is saying, and listen, Draymond ain't saying nothing that he ain't heard, right? Do people not like Dylan Brooks on the squad? What's that all about?
When Dray said,
DA? He like, hey, I don't even like you. I'm like,
right.
I think was it just a diss track?
I want to hear what you say. I want to hear what you say. What you think?
That's what I got from it, because look, I always say this, you know, I have this little, one of my sayings, you know, I got 1,000 sayings when it comes to Dylan Brooks, but one of them is, you know, I say, you know, the most loved in the locker room, the most hated in the NBA. That's the energy
that you get off. Yeah,
that's how it is. I mean, you remember he got booed earlier this season at FedEx Forum.
Yeah.
Ja, it wasn't probably 20, 30 minutes after the game, Ja got on Twitter and kind of, you know, said something about it, kind of called out the fans. And then to the point, the next game, you know, I'm like, Ja, you know, they clapped for him today. You know what you think about it? He was like, well, why didn't they do that last game? Mm-hmm. Like, these dudes felt that probably more than Dylan Brooks did. Desmond Bane, you know, calls him the heart and soul of the team. Like, Dylan Brooks is the one player, like, Taylor Jenkins lets him get up in film sessions. And Dylan Brooks controls the room. He points out what he sees. He's the guy, you know, he kind of said it in his response to Dre a little bit when he was saying, you know, he calls out the opponent's plays and things like that. Like, you got to think about it. This team is super young. So he's the guy that's like, they're about to run this, they're about to run that. And, you know, kind of helping them on the defensive end, you know, with that type of stuff. So, I mean, they love him. I mean, look. You gotta be. There's no way you hooping with that dude all the time. And when he shoots like yesterday, 7 of 20, and the team is shooting close to 50%, like, you're not bothered some type of way. But they don't show it, Marcus. They don't. Right. They don't ever show it. So
hey.
I got a text from somebody yesterday and said, How are the Grizzlies shooting close to 50% and Dylan Brooks is 7-20? I said, man, this is every game. This is normal business.
Hey, DA, shots is like money in the league, and he's like second, third in shots, right, and sub 40%. So I'm like, maybe somebody's like, hey, bro, all right, man, we love you, but you gotta pull back from the buffet.
Man, the Golden State series last year, I'll never forget. You remember, I think it was game four.
And Chase, right?
Yep, and Chase. Yeah. And he just was letting them ride, man. Like, fourth quarter, he was just letting it go. So after the game, I'm like, I got to ask the players, like, when Dylan is shooting like that, what do you say to him? And they're like, keep shooting. And I asked them after, what do your teammates say to you? They told me, keep shooting. Yeah. So, I mean, Taylor Jenkins says it all the time. He has the green light. The way the Grizzlies play, you know, they do most of their scoring in transition and, you know, kind of like a free-flowing way of basketball. Yeah. He has this ultimate green light. But you can tell he tries to, you know, like, get Jaren more involved, get Dez more shots. You know, Dez is getting more shots than him this year and things like that. But with Ja out, oh, it's on. Like, right. It's Dylan's time to shine.
It's not just Dylan and Ja. They got Steven Adams out. Yep. They lost Brandon Clark for the season. Like, dude, they're dealing with a lot trying to get ready for these playoffs. And I just wonder, I don't think they got enough time. Because, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, to get all of this, even if Ja plays in the first round, like, can they mm-hmm. get themselves back together to play – I mean, whether it's Golden State or the Clippers or whoever it winds up being six, that's going to be a veteran squad that they're playing.
That's the cold part, right?
You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be no kid group they're playing.
Not at all. And I was telling someone, I was like, people talk about, oh, I don't know if they're going to get past, you know, where they advanced last year. And I'm like, right now you should be worried about this team is going to get out of the first round. I mean, yeah, they have the talent when healthy. I don't think it's a conversation. But with the way things are going, you know, Steven Adams won't be reevaluated until the last week of the season. So you're talking about a ramp up period and all the things that come with that, even if he's returning for one or two games at the end of the season. And of course, you know, there's Ja's situation. Same thing. We haven't talked about the basketball side of it, but whenever he comes back, like, he ain't coming back playing 38 minutes. So there's
and
that.
That's game one of the playoffs.
Man.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a weird situation, and it's they're in a tough spot. You know, you want to be hitting on all cylinders. I think I always compare it last year, like the Grizzlies and Golden State. The difference was, you know, the Grizzlies were kind of going full speed all the way through. I remember in March when Golden State came here, and I think Dre missed that game. Clay may have played. This was the day he tweeted out, Jaren Jackson tweeted out strength and numbers.
Yeah, it was that game.
But, you know, Curry was out with his injury. And I remember, you know, just reading you guys, Marcus, a lot of people in that market were just saying things like, the goal is to be healthy for the postseason. The Grizzlies were trying to get the number two seed. They were going for the two seed. So when those two matched up in that 2-3 matchup, Desmond Bane's back is flaring up. And, it didn't show until after the season, but Jaren Jackson Jr. had the stress fracture injury after the season. And, you know, that's an injury that's a product of usage. So, you know, I feel like they've had a different mindset this season all the way up until this point. But now the injuries are kind of hitting them at the wrong time.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City, with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful, designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com. Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping, It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
It seems to me like the one dude that could maybe not carry them, that's the wrong word, but that they could lean into a little bit more is Jaren Jackson to me.
Yeah. Yeah,
for you sure. Know, like right now,
no way, because he can't stay on the court. Well, the best player in the league who cannot stay on the court.
That's not, you ain't lying. I'm not. Yeah, but I'm just
stay
saying,
on the
like,
court, Jared.
Yeah, stay on the what's court. He's played 49 games this year. Yeah,
like when he's on the court, he's fouling and he's out of the game. Like,
yeah.
I
seriously,
mean,
name a better player who's always like sitting up. Like not like unhealthy, but like
yeah,
right. Yeah, yeah. No, that's
it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
You can't. He's top five in fouls per game pretty much, you know, every year that he's been healthy. So, I mean, it's a good point. I was looking at the numbers actually earlier today. I think he's averaging like over 20 points and 7 rebounds and 3.5 blocks when he plays 32 minutes per game. So that's basically the games he plays between 30 and 39 minutes. If you go down to the games where he plays between 20 and 29 minutes, basically when he has the foul trouble, he's averaging 15 points, like 6 rebounds. Still, you know, he's going to block shots. If he plays 5 minutes, he's blocking shots. 2.9 blocks per game. So it's a big difference. Like, if he plays a normal starter's game, basically 32 minutes, he's averaging 20 and 7 and 3.5 blocks.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's 22 years old, 23, and he's never averaged 30 minutes.
No. Nope.
Like, at the time where he's supposed to be playing 35.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Bro, you gotta be on the court, man. Like, you too good.
It's fair.
Too good, but he's just not on the court because of foul trouble. It's like the one thing he's got to figure out. I'm curious about what, like you were talking about. I mean, it's just a lot of issues, and they ran into it. Is this? I know Dylan's a free agent.
Yep.
Obviously, they're gonna have to do something to shore up that roster, get it some type of veteran presence. How big is what happens this year? Is this one of those, if it is a first round exit, is there like we understand it was a unique situation. They got like the defending champs or like the Lakers or something in the first round. Or is it like, this clearly doesn't work. We need to shake it up. We've had a few years of this. How big is this year?
The playoff run won't be the determining factor, no matter if it's first round, second round, Western Conference Finals. But after that, I think the offseason, the Dylan Brooks decision is going to be the ultimate like elephant in the room. Because if you keep Dylan Brooks, you're running it back with the same starting five. Like Ja, Dez, Steven Adams, and Jaren Jackson Jr. are all big. I mean, since Steven Adams has been out, they've struggled. When Jaren was out, they struggled defensively. You know, Dez is the great shooter on the team. Ja is Ja. Yeah. So everyone else is imprinted like into the lineup. It's the Dylan Brooks question. I mean, he's the great wing defender, but can you go out and get another, you know, really solid wing defender who can add a little bit more on the offensive end? If they do that in the offseason, they're going to run it back with the group that they got for sure.
Yeah.
But if they can't find that guy, you got to bring Dylan back, because at the end of the day, Ja and Dez are great offensive players, but they are not guys that you're putting on, you know, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Steph Curry, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, like in the Western Conference. So you need that wing defender bad, and they may have to run it back with Dylan if they can't go out and find another guy. But I mean, there's a lot of belief like around the team that this group, when healthy, can achieve, you know, a lot of goals. But it's the Dylan Brooks question. You know, that's what it's going. I mean, Marcus, you already know. You hey, talk to me.
Come on, DA. Come on, DA. Check this out. All right. Let's just this is why it irritates me. Cause you know what? I shouldn't be saying this where I live, but I really want Memphis. I want Memphis to do well, mostly because I do believe Ja is next. Like, and yeah, it's gonna be great.
They're a great young team.
Yes, like it's like I want the city to win. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, this is yeah.
Stuff, you yes. know what I'm saying?
But, yeah. All right,
Denver has Jokic, possibly the 3-time MVP, Jamal Murray. Phoenix got KD, Devin Booker. The Warriors are the Warriors. Kawhi, you know, Paul George. You go on down the list. Like Luka, Kyrie, LeBron. Can they be really serious with Ja and whoever that number two is, D.A.? Don't they got to go and, like, get somebody and quit playing like Dylan Brooks is that dude?
He's
good for what he does, but yeah. This is the Western Conference.
I would say yes, except Ja's that effing good. Ja's that good. Like, he could carry them. Like, with minimal help, he could carry them. You know, like... He's so dynamic and explosive, mm-hmm. and he just compromises the defense so completely that if anybody else will make a shot for them, they could get to the conference finals. I had zero doubt in my mind because they defend the paint with Adams mm-hmm. and Jaren Jackson Jr. They defend the paint with Brooks. They defend wings. So who's scoring 120 against them in a playoff game? Like, so
KD and Booker.
That's the one, you know, there
Luka,
are teams.
Kyrie.
They're teams that can do that, but they will be able to take away something from most teams. Not all, but from most. So that's what's scary about, and scary in a good way, if I'm a Memphis fan, is that young fella is...
I don't know, DeMichael, man. I feel like they playing games.
They may have to make a move. They remind me.
I'm sorry, you're not beating KD with Dylan Brooks.
Yeah. No. They remind me of the Pistons.
Second most shots on the team.
Right before the Pistons got Mark McGuire. That's what they remind me of.
Mm.
Going in the same trajectory, same really good, but after Isaiah, who's that next guy that really can get you a bucket? And they went out and got Mark McGuire. So
right.
That was that's, the end of it. Yeah.
That's the question. Because what makes this team, you know, a 50-win team and top defense and all that is, if you look at the starting lineup, what makes the Grizzlies good outside of just looking at the names? Every player that they have in the starting lineup has an elite category. Like, Ja is an elite point guard. Dez is an elite shooter. Dylan is an elite wing defender. Jaren is an elite, you know, rim protector
defender
all around. And Steven Adams is arguably the best offensive rebounder in the game right now, or best rebounder, period. All those guys are
elite. And an elite goon, by the way.
Yeah, but in a good way, like, though.
Best way. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, sure.
He will smile at you when he takes
that dude,
your head
that
off.
Dude, he's the nicest guy in the world, too, but he is scary.
Oh, yeah. No. He's...
Oh, my bad, DeMichael.
Don't mess with him.
No, you're right. You're right. Until you mess with one of his teammates.
Right.
It changes. But Dylan is the question mark in there, because with all those elite categories that they have, they don't have that elite secondary shot creator. And that plays in the fourth quarter. Like, it's so many examples of that. This season, going back to January when they started to struggle. Remember, they were 30-13 tied with Denver on January 17th before all the, you know, everything just started falling apart. At that point of the season, that was when Steven Adams got hurt. And when one of these guys goes down, it's such a big loss, because they don't have a lot of shot creators on this team. Fourth quarter collapses have been the biggest thing for them. And it's always been like that, because it's either Ja or no one, or Jaren isn't demanding the ball enough when he has the obvious mismatch and those type of things. Like, you go back,
because he's got 5 fouls on him at the time.
And even the series last year against Golden State, that's the perfect example. The last two games that they lost against Golden State in that series, games 4, game 6, I think game four, that was the game where neither one was scoring like late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was a real ugly game.
But I mean, the Grizzlies weren't scoring because they didn't have anyone
to score. They can't score in that situation.
And then game six, they went into that game. That's Dillon Brooks' game. He was shooting a lot of shots. Game six, they were nip and tuck going into the fourth, and Golden State pulled away because the Grizzlies didn't have Ja, didn't have a closer. But this season, it feels like the league has kind of adjusted around Ja more. They're kind of collapsing in the paint, you know, not letting him just jump over dudes in the paint anymore, making him settle for the mid-range jumper a little more. He has to shoot the three-point a little bit more in those situations. And since that's happening, somebody's got to step up and be that second guy. And no one has, like, taken that role completely. Dez will have his game every now and then. Jaren will have his game every now and then. But it's not like a, you know, KD has – you know, Devin Booker, or, you know, Steph has Clay, or it's not that
Tatum's
type of thing.
Tatum's got Jaylen Brown.
Exactly.
Like, that's what I'm saying, man. It's some dog. Like, we're not talking about to be good. Like, they're good. They're obviously
right.
Winning a championship?
No, that's another level.
But
that's
part of the
learning curve. And that's
usually good
teams have to make a trade at some point to get great. You have to do something.
I just hope they don't delude themselves, D.A., into thinking, nah, we can do this. We've got this. Nah, like the old Greg Brown.
I don't think they will. They're pretty smart front office.
Gasol and Zach Randolph. It's going to work. Like, you know.
They tried, Marcus. They tried this past trade deadline. I mean, they were swinging. He basically, Zach Klein, GM over there, he basically said, you know, there were some moves, because, you know, at the end of the day, you're judged by what happens. You're not judged by, you know, what's talked about in between the lines. You know, they wanted to get one of those big wings, you know, assets out there, like a, you know, OG Anunoby or Mikal Bridges. You know,
they
want those type of guys. But at the end of the day,
that would be perfect.
That would be perfect. That's the piece.
That's the piece. Yeah. Right. No, facts. Oh, it's going to be fascinating, man. DMC, man, appreciate you jumping in with us today, bro.
Most definitely. Appreciate y'all having me.
Of course. Y'all leave that 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you get this fine American podcast. Marcus, if they can't leave 5, what do they need to do?
Keep it to yourself, you haters. We're going to make you listen to 17 hours straight of Dillon Brooks and Draymond Green talking trash to each other.